Right, kia ora e te whānau. How are we all this morning? Good. We're good. I have been wondering and pondering, how are we all feeling about Romans at the moment? Are we enjoying it? Yeah? Are we enjoying the life groups that are kind of talking about it together as well, those of us that are part of it? Is it nice to kind of talk about it on Sunday and then talk about it during the week with your peers? Yeah, it's good, eh? It's been really good. And has it been challenging, though? I know for me, there's been some moments throughout it that I'm sitting there going, oh, flip. Like, this is challenging me to be more than I am. It's challenging me to dig deeper into God than I currently do. And that's a good thing. That's what Paul was trying to achieve. I've also been pondering, who here always feels like they're busy? Yeah? Who feels like... I'm not getting much response today, am I? Who feels like they're busy all the time? Yeah? Yeah, it's a general trend, eh? Who feels like that in any given day you don't have enough time to do everything you want to do? Yeah? Yeah, do we feel that way? Do we feel like we just don't have enough time to do the things that we do? Family, do we think that perhaps we might be busier than those who have gone before? Does anyone think that we were busier than the generations before? Yeah, do we think that we are busier? What if I told you that that's not true? What if I told you that we are equally as busy as the generations that have gone before? There are actually some studies out there. I can link you to some studies if you want to see some studies. There are some studies out there that tell that show that we are about as equally as busy. It's a different kind of busy. And some of the problem we have these days is that we have like micro information. You know, we've talked about the doom scrolling and going through the micro information. That has this impact on our brain that tells us that there's heaps going on. And you jump from that to bad news in the world, and you get all of this information about the bad news in the world, and it's just constant. So what's actually going on for us is that there is just so much information that we're getting on a regular basis. We're getting more information than our predecessors did, and it's making us tired and worn out, and it's making us feel like we don't have enough time to do everything that we need to do. Paul has a solution to that. In short, it's God, and it's prioritizing God in our time, but we'll jump into that as we go. So what I wanted to do just to kick us off is, normally I would cover background on a sermon, but what I've been trying to do is kind of bridge the gap between when we last met last week and today. So last week we were at the beginning of chapter 8. Can anyone tell me what the main point of the sermon was last week? I'm taking a bit of a risk here, but that's all right, I'm okay. It started with therefore, if it helps. No condemnation. See, I'm taking a risk, but I wasn't taking a risk, was I? You heard it. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're living your life in Christ Jesus, you are no longer condemned. Yeah? You are enough through Jesus. You don't have to get everything right. You can make mistakes. You can get things wrong. That is okay. There is no more condemnation. I hope that this week you've lived your life with that sense. Actually, if I make a mistake, that's all right. I fall on my knees, get back in touch with Jesus, and it'll be right. Yeah? That should give us this sense of freedom. This sense of freedom. The rest of chapter 8, Paul speaks of suffering and what it means to live in this world. Just because we're Christians, just because we're Christ followers, it doesn't mean we avoid suffering. It doesn't mean we avoid it at all. It just means we have some tools and some support to help us handle that suffering. He finishes chapter 8 with a beautiful promise. And it's in verses 37 to 39. And I felt, even though this isn't connected to the sermon today, I wanted to share it with you all today. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. No matter how much we suffer, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, now this one's going to take a while, I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not micro doom scrolling, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Can I get an amen? Like, actually, that's a great thing. It doesn't matter what we face in this world, we cannot be separated from Christ. He will make a way. It's a beautiful benediction to finish off any day, but it's also a beautiful way to start any day as well. And so can I encourage you, that's Romans 8, 37 and 39. This would be a great verse for all of us to learn off by heart and to speak into our lives on a daily basis. Anyway, in chapters 9 to 11, Paul digs deeper into a question he knows that the church in Rome is going to ask. Did God fail Israel? Are the Jewish people, have they been let down by God because they are no longer his chosen people? Did he not keep his promises to them? And if he didn't keep his promises to them, can we as Gentiles trust this same God? To which Paul answers, no, he did not fail Israel. Paul talks about Israel struggling to continue to follow the law, so they're continuing to strive for righteousness, not living in this space of no more condemnation. He talks of the rejection of Jesus by not accepting him as their saviour. Yeah, so they actually, Israel turns their back on God because they don't accept the continued story. Some people do. Some Jewish people have accepted that story of Jesus and continue on. Israel was also a blessed people to bless others. Now, what's one of the things that the 12 disciples have in common? What was that? They're all men, yep. Human, yep. Does anyone know? Some of them were fishermen, there were tax collectors, there were all sorts, yep. They were all Jewish. Did our church start through the 12 disciples? Did not God keep his promise to bless the nations through these Jewish people? Yeah? So he blessed them. And Paul, if you want to have a look at it, through chapters 9 to 11, Paul explains all the ways in which God has kept his promise to Israel. That'd be well worth diving into. Today, family, if you have your Bibles there on your phone, in your book, whatever works, Romans 12 is where we're focusing on today. Romans 12, 1 to 8 in particular. Now, like in chapter 8, I said that the main point that Paul made was at the very beginning and it was in verse 1. Well, guess what? The main point of chapter 12 is in verse 1. Therefore, yes, it's another therefore, which means it's referring back to everything else we've learnt. Everything else we've learnt about the theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, which we don't deserve, I might add, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. As we journey through this, we're going to look at three ideas. The three ideas are our lives are to be living sacrifices to God. We cannot do life by ourselves. And we all have a part to play. Every one of us has a part to play. So let's start by having a look at our lives are to be a living sacrifice to God. And if you're still in your Bible there, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Family, have you ever pondered the question, and I would assume most of us have, what is it to worship God? What is worship of God? Well, family, I could argue today that you actually don't need any other biblical passage. You could simply use this one. Lots of the other ones would back up what this is saying here. True and proper worship is a living sacrifice to God, living our lives. Worship isn't just about what we do here on a Sunday. In fact, that's by extension a corporate expression of worship. But our worship is the way in which we live our lives, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So the word worship in the Greek is latria, which is actually combining worship and service. The word latria means both. It means worship of God and it means in service of God. Paul also uses the Greek word soma when he's talking about the body, which means the mass of the body, the whole of the body, every aspect of the body. And if our whole body is to be a living sacrifice, there is also the Greek word zeo, which means alive or to be alive. So it's our whole life, every part. If we are currently breathing, if we are alive, we are to be living our lives in sacrifice to God. That is true and proper worship. Paul actually gives a warning in verse 2. He said it's not going to be easy to live your lives in true and proper worship. It's not going to be an easy thing to do. And he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. He's very aware of the idea that we can be distracted by what's going on around us. We can easily conform to the pattern of the world. Yeah. So, you know something serious when I take the time to go and do some math, okay? I don't like math. I don't enjoy it. I don't know why I took calculus and statistics in seventh form. That was silly. If I take the time to do math, you know it's serious. So, in any given day, there's 24 hours, right? 7 days a week. What's that? 168 hours. If you work a 40-hour week, in a secular workplace, I might add, generally, most of us would work in a secular workplace where we're not exposed to God for 40 hours, that would be 23.81% of our week. Decent chunk. The average person needs between 7 and 9 hours sleep a night. So let's say 8, that's 56 hours, which is 33.33%, which is also a third of your day. So those two things alone, so sleep and work, takes up 57.14 on average in a whole week. If you look at a day specifically, so if you look at a work day specifically, you've got, 8 hours of work, 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours for everything else. Yeah? Remembering, this doesn't actually include travel to work, right? So if you're working a 40-hour week and you've got to travel to and from work, that's even more time, right? Our time is often consumed by work and sleep. These are inevitable parts of our lives. And they are, I mean, sleep in particular, you don't have control over what you're thinking in that space, I guess. But when it comes to our work, we probably also don't have a lot of control. What's going on around us is what's going on around us. If we surround ourselves by in a secular workplace with secular ideas, with secular advertising as we go to work and all of those kind of things, and then we go home and we watch secular TV, read secular books, listen to secular music, you can very quickly see how our time can be consumed. When our main focus is meant to be God in any given week. Paul is challenging us in these verses to be fully aware of this battle that's going on. Yeah, it's something we need to actually take the time and do the math, yeah, and figure out and go, hey, this is important. If I'm surrounded by this all the time, what I do with those 8 hours that I have of my own really matters. It really matters. We need to prioritize music that speaks theology into our lives. And we talked about this a little bit last week. The theology and music can actually often speak to us during the week. Imagine if you're humming a theological song in your head at work. That's going to make a big difference, isn't it? If we were to read the Bible before picking up our secular book, therefore we've invested in God and we've attached a habit to a habit. That's not a bad thing either, is it? Family, even these days we can apply this to our TV watching, right? There's one show that I hear everyone talking about all the time. What's it called? No. The Chosen. No, we haven't heard of The Chosen? Oh. Okay, The Chosen. It's on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out. It's about Jesus and the disciples. You got that right there. There's also on Amazon Prime, there's another one that's about King David and his story. So, there you go. I've given you something that you can take home as a tool. You can go and watch Amazon Prime. But imagine if you took a moment and watched The Chosen before you jumped into everything else. Like I said, attaching a habit to a habit, that's a good thing. But you're then thinking about God. You're thinking about the stories in the Bible. I'll even go a step further. Ben, you and I have been talking about a particular thing that's coming out soon. There is a game. There is a PC game coming out called I Am Jesus Christ. In this game, you walk around as Jesus Christ and you do his journey. And there's a demo out about it at the moment. There are lots of tools at our hands, yeah? There's lots of tools that we can use to bring into our lives to allow us to spend time with God. When we live in a world where it's easy to be taken away from these things, it shows us how important it is to add these things into what we're doing, to prioritize the things of God, because our time is, it can be so limited at times, depending on what's going on. Our lives are to be a living sacrifice to God, and we cannot do life by ourselves. If you've got your Bible still there, Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves in sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Family, we are to not think too highly of ourselves. To think too highly of ourselves is to assume that we can do this on our own. It's to assume that we've got this covered, my relationship with God is good, I don't need anyone else, I'm good. Paul is being really clear to take the time to think of ourselves with sober judgment and realize we need support. We need help. We've just talked about how hard it is to bring all of these elements into our lives. So why wouldn't we assume that we need a community of faith? Family, I think COVID-19 was one of the enemy's favorite things, yeah? The enemy had these awesome opportunities to convince people that I can watch a sermon online, I can listen to music online on a Sunday, and I'm good. That's my community of faith. I'm part of an online community of faith. Family, we need to be involved in a community of faith. This is what Paul is talking about here. We need to be present in a community of faith. We need to be surrounded by people to help us stay in that space of sober judgment. I need people calling me into line when I get things wrong. Yeah? We all need that. And that's what this is. This is part, not the entirety. This is part of what this is about. Family, let's take that moment and look at ourselves with sober judgment. We need each other. We need God, and we need each other. Our lives are to be living sacrifices to God. We cannot do life by ourselves, and we all have a part to play. Verses 4 to 8, if you're still there. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Don't we all need a bit of encouragement from time to time? If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Family, if we are choosing to live our lives in true and proper service to God, then that life in service to God is then also in service of others. We talked about the fact that the 12 disciples were Jews. They then took their lives and they served others. Hey, we are blessed. We are also blessed, like them, to bless others, to bring blessing to others through the gifts that we have been given. For each and every one of us, God will have given us specific gifts, talents, all sorts of things that will help. These are good things. They bring us joy. You'll notice if it's something that you enjoy, generally that's speaking to the idea of it being a gift. And it will bring life to us, but it'll also bring life to the person that we're sharing that gift with. The gifts that God gave us, we're not meant to be kept to ourselves. We weren't meant to keep them in our inner circle. They were to be shared in a community of faith. We all need each other's gifts to navigate this world and to be able to offer our bodies as a true living sacrifice. We all need that. We need to be a blessing to each other. It's wonderful to think that using our gifts, we get to bless someone else, but in turn, they'll have an opportunity to bless us as well. Isn't that kind of nice? Now, here's the cool thing. It's not all doom and gloom. This is one of the things that I've loved about coming to Miramar. There are so many opportunities to serve each other. And many of you, in fact, most of you, are already in a position where you're serving each other on a regular basis. Take, for example, our host team. Didn't Lucy do a great job this morning? Yeah? Didn't Betsy do a great job last week? Yeah? And all of them are very different, right? And isn't that a blessing that we don't have to have the same host up here every week? Let me put it this way, in Albany, we didn't have a host. Rochelle and I had to do all of those bits in the middle, yeah? So you'd be sitting up here, some weeks you'd have to sit up here and just listen to me the whole time because it was just me. Exactly. I agree with that comment. That would be horrible. And so we have this awesome blessing of these people with these amazing gifts, yeah? Yeah. They lead us so well through that time. What about Jordan and Annika this morning, yeah? What a beautiful time of corporate worship, of coming together in worship. I know there's going to be some great coffees after, yeah? People will be pretty happy with that. And we all got a nice welcome from Luke this morning, eh? Isn't that nice? There are many opportunities already to be involved. In fact, we even mentioned one earlier, didn't we? There's a Christmas group coming together, and there's another opportunity to come and be part of what we're doing in this place. But family, I do want to take it a step further, because if you have a gift or a passion for something, and it's not something that's done in this space, I'm going to say this morning that that's probably still needed. If you have a gift or a passion, there will be some need for that in this place, and I'd encourage you to either come and talk to Rochelle or I. Or come and talk to Betsy or Brett or Vanessa or any one of our leaders and say, I have this gift, but I don't know how to use it. Yeah? And we'll work it out together. That's the beauty of being part of a community of faith. Family, today we've worked through these three ideas. Our lives are meant to be living sacrifices. Family, we cannot do this on it by ourselves, and we all have a part to play here. ultimately the main point Paul was trying to make is verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. But how do we achieve this? And we've talked a little bit about that. We've talked about being aware of our time, yeah? About where we're spending our time and how our time can be consumed by things of the world. We've talked about how our workplace can consume a lot of our time, but there are ways in which we can bring God into that as well. Simply taking a walk at lunchtime and praying in the area where you work. There's these little things that we can do throughout our day to include God in that. It could be reading the Bible before jumping into the novel that you love. Taking a moment to just look at that last passage of Romans that we've been talking about. It's about recognizing that we need community, yeah? We need each other. It's recognizing that I'm better because of all of you, and it works both ways, yeah? In fact, we can achieve a lot more as a community of faith than one person. Family, we've learned that we all have gifts, yeah? We all have something to contribute. If we are encouragers, we need to encourage. We need people speaking wisdom into our lives. We need people who are generous with their time, with their money. We need evangelists. Just a side note, evangelism is a gift and some people are really, really good at it, but we're all called to be evangelists, so there's an element of that in there as well. Family, we need miracle workers. We need prayer warriors. We need to share our gifts with this community faith, whatever they look like. These gifts were meant to be shared with the family. Family, by way of response today, I have been thinking about this a little bit. I've just spent a lot of time talking about how we all have gifts and we're meant to share it with each other, eh? And I've given you some ideas of how this might look in your week. But all of you will have some idea of how this passage impacts you throughout this week. So what I wanted to do today was encourage you all to turn to some people around you, move the chairs if we need to, that's fine, and discuss in particular this question. What could living a life of sacrifice to God look like for us? Yeah? So we'll put some music on and we'll have some time to discuss what could living a life of sacrifice to God look like for us today.